East Coast Breakfast.
Good morning, Willem.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
Lekker, man. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us this morning.
Great. I think this is the first time that I'm actually speaking to you guys.
It is the first time. We're normally talking to your Mikey, Davi, but Davi's obviously catching a flight somewhere because he can't drive anywhere with all this flooding.
Like a charger's phone somewhere.
He's a clever oak. I'm appointed for my lips, not for my brain.
Well, Lou, let's test that grey matter right now. Here's the question. Okay. Is it true that South Africa is exporting electricity and coal to neighbouring countries? That's what is being stated on social media. People are putting screen grabs of documents up. Is there any truth to this, or is it a scare tactic?
Yeah, that was a quite interesting one that came out, and that was about this whole story, electricity going to Zimbabwe, and now because of the floods, I mean, then all the wires were exposed, etc., etc. I don't think that story is 100% true. We actually discussed it yesterday, and there was a lot of rumors around it. The fact of the matter is that we are exporting energy or electricity to Zimbabwe, but I don't think that the story that it, what they now expose is that is 100% true. That will be shocking if that is so. Mm. But the mere fact is that we kept on the light longer in Zimbabwe that we kept lights on in South Africa, all right? Mm. And the question then arises again, why does this happen? Mm. And it comes back, time and time and again, it comes back to, it is not the problem that we have at Eskom, it is the people that is managing this whole situation and a political sort of engagement within this and interference within this whole process. That is the big problem. So if you've got a Mikey in a neighboring country, I mean, this Mikey was looking after you for a very long time, especially in the apartheid era. I mean, you made certain promises to them. I mean, they sort of reap the benefit, and we see that things have been exported to Zimbabwe. They never had tower failures. And then the story that came out said, yeah, all of a sudden when we had close to the border, we had load shedding and it was affected. And that is not really the truth. But the crux of the matter is that we looked at our neighboring state, and especially we looked at Zimbabwe, and also in a very, very smaller matter at Mozambique, but especially Zimbabwe. And we did export, power to them, while we were cutting power in South Africa. Their power was kept on. And that was a big concern.
Yeah.
That was a big concern. And I think that is the story. And that always leads to other stories. The next one is also quite interesting. And I actually have a voicemail from one of my peers that actually talking about this. And we're also investigating this because this will also be a shocking story.
Yeah.
And this story is regarding the low grade of coal that is being delivered by all these interesting Gupta connected connections to Eskom. All right, so they've got a low grade of coal that doesn't combust or doesn't burn so easy, and what they need as a catalysator, as a catalyst to this, is that they need a oil, all right, which they need to mix with this, and then they ignite it, and then it will make this coal light. Mm. And apparently the story is that they are sitting, Eskom is sitting with a account of these guys of 500 million rand.
Yeah.
This is an oil company. And they're not paying these guys, all right, at the end of the day. And what then subsequently happened is they stopped supplying the oil.
Okay.
All right. So now you're struggling to get, and that is why they then come back and blame the wet, the wet coal. It's got nothing to do with that.
Okay.
It's got nothing to do. If you actually take the similar matter, how we actually generate electricity from coal and from what's happening in that whole process. And you look at countries in Europe and in Asia, they're using exactly the same methods. All right. They are much worse off weather-wise than we are.
Yeah.
I mean, it rains there for like 3 months at a time. You know, not for 6 days.
So, Willem, what I'm picking up on is that, yes, the people are justified to be angry at the mismanagement that is happening at Eskom, some of the decision-making where you're prioritizing neighbors and not us, because it is affecting our economy. As an economist, how is our economy being affected right now due to load shedding?
Yeah, let me just give you one or two interesting numbers. I mean, the mining industry is contributing 351 billion rand to the South African economy. This was the numbers in 2018. So what subsequently happened is that Eskom forced Nothing else. There's no other word. Mm. They forced the mine to stop production. All right. Yeah. I mean, now you can look at somebody like Petra Diamonds. I mean, Petra Diamonds was in Culloden, close to Ajahn, Koffiefontein. All right. These guys will start to mine most probably today. I mean, you look at Harmony Gold, you look at Impala Platinum. Mm. They stopped sending their guys in Rustenburg and in Marula underground. Sibanye Stillwater, exactly the same. Now, as a combination, if you take the whole mining industry and what happened when these guys moved from stage 2 to stage 4 to stage 6, I mean, these guys was on a... If you look at all the numbers, most probably these guys was losing 100 million rand per day.
Mm.
100 million rand in production per day. So, I mean, you just take that. You're just in a mining industry, you take that out of the equation. I mean, that is amazing. That is such a big number. I mean, guys are sitting there. Now you get industries like South 32. I mean, these guys are big industries and they're melting, iron ore and stuff like that. They have to shut it down, all right? So when they shut down and they have to restart again, you're talking literally hundreds of millions of rand, right?
That's sounding very dire indeed.
I realize that, I mean, we literally could speak to you for the entire show, but I need to just jump to the end here and ask you, from an economic perspective, how long is it going to take us as a country to recover from this?
10 or 20 years.
Yeah.
Not 1 year or 2 years. We're going to sit with this load shedding problem another 2 years at least.
Villain.
I mean, the damage that has been done to the South African economy is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I can give you this simple number. I mean, if you just look, I mean, just look at the debt numbers, all right, of Parastatals. Prada, 41 billion rand. Sandral, 39 billion rand. Mm. SABC, 3.8 billion rand. Danel, 4.8 billion rand. SAA, we're talking about 28 billion rand. I mean, Eskom, 500 billion rand. All right. Now, just those numbers. That's just debt. So we're trying to get those organizations right. We try to get tourism right in South Africa. We try to get foreign investment right in South Africa. Why, in your whole mind, will you invest in this country, right, if you're not sure that your factory or your mine or your business will be operating because there's no power?
Yeah.
For our recovery, really, guys, I mean, this is not going to take 2 or 3 or 5 years.
Well, Willem, I can tell you that you do paint a very, very bleak picture. Perhaps we do need to look at this realistically. I don't know how you're still able to find the humor, but I wish we had more time to talk to you. And we've got your number now.
All my Christmas lights are on batteries. So I put all my lights, I've got these battery-operated Christmas lights. And every night I get home, my lights are shining on my Christmas tree.
All right, Philip. We will call you some more next time we need a little bit of a laugh and a little bit of some bad news, because you seem to sugarcoat it nicely for us. That's Willem Besson, business development and economist at the Efficient Group. It's not looking good. We have to start looking at some serious hard plans. East Coast Breakfast.